Hidden in the councils of heaven are the answers to the heartfelt cries of millions of people, people who simply want to know why. As we run the race of life, we encounter troubles we can't explain and circumstances we can't possibly deserve. We seek a reason for our pain, and perhaps only the life to come will reveal the answers we crave. Remember, though, beyond our pain is God Himself. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series from the life of Job, a series entitled, God, Why Me? Listen now as he brings his final message, the purpose of it all.
On November the 8th, 1994, Dwayne Scott Willis and his wife Janet were traveling on I-94 to Wisconsin when suddenly a semi-truck ahead of them lost a piece of metal which perhaps weighed 30 pounds. Scott had only a split second to decide what to do, and rather than hit the tire, he thought that it would be best to drive over the piece of metal. And of course, as you may have heard, what happened is that piece of metal punctured the gas tank, and the whole van in which they were riding was up in flames, with 6 children in the back of the van. 5 children died instantly. Another, by the name of Ben, was pulled from the wreckage and died hours later. Scott himself and his wife escaped serious injury, though they did have first and second degree burns. But while that van was burning, and they said that they never even heard a peep from their children, it happened so quickly. While that van was burning, Scott said to his wife, "This is the moment for which we are prepared." The faith and the absolute trust in God that this young couple had became national news, and I understand was actually beamed around the world as people, even the most cynical people, began to believe that there are still those who so trust in God that they can see 6 children die and still give thanks to know that they belong to Almighty God. That's something like happened to Job. He lost 10 children in a hailstorm, in lightning. And as a result of losing those 10 children, he also lost his wealth and his health. And now we come to the end of the book of Job, and we begin to see how it all came together. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Job, and we come to chapter 42. Job, chapter 42. One of the similarities between the family of the Willises along I-94 and the book of Job and its experience is that both families still saw in this life what God might do as a result of their tragedies. They began to be able to see the pattern that God might have in mind and that there might be some good that would come from something that would be so awful. As we shall see later, oftentimes that is not the case, but in these cases that was so. What I'd like to do today is to give you 3 benefits that Job had as a result of his trial. 3 benefits, very quickly, taken from the 42nd chapter. First of all, notice that Job had a new conception of God, a new conception of God. He viewed God differently. He was a better worshiper of God than he had ever been. If you were here last time, and you remember that this is the last in a series of 8 messages on the book of Job, but last time we emphasized that he now understood that God was bigger than he realized. God was the creator. God had spoken. God had made the sun and the moon and the stars and challenged Job with question after question as to where Job was when God did all this. He realized that God was bigger. He also realized that God was better than he realized, because God was gracious and merciful, and he had a purpose in nature, even in the way in which he created the eagle and the hawk. God was good. But Job began to realize also that having underestimated God, he had overestimated himself. And that's why when God says, "Job, it's your turn to speak now," You've wanted to bring me into court so that you could instruct me. Here's your opportunity. You'll notice back in chapter 40, Job said, I will lay my hand upon my mouth once I have spoken, but I will proceed no further even twice, but I will not answer. I have spoken too much already. I have to keep my mouth shut. Oh, what Job learned about God in that remarkable experience. Now, that did not mean that all of the mystery regarding God was gone. In fact, let me say this, that the better we know God, the more mystery there is. Knowledge never decreases mystery. Knowledge encourages trust, but the mystery will always be there. Probably even in heaven, after 100 billion years, we will not have exhausted the mystery and the marvel of the beauty of God. You'll notice that the text says, verse 7, And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. When did Job speak something about God that was right? It was not when he was complaining bitterly against God for what happened to him. That was not the moment. It was not even those moments in which he exhibited faith and said, Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It was when he realized that God was sovereign, that God was accountable to no one, that in the presence of the living God, every single mouth is stopped, and every question, though it may go unanswered from our point of view, every question is laid triumphantly at his feet, believing that he does well. It was when Job spoke like that, he spoke what was right about God. Now, one of the things that God teaches us in trials always is a new conception of God, a new understanding. There is a new walk. There is a new faith. I've had people say to me, I never dreamed that God would do that to me, speaking usually about some tragedy. Sometimes we say it about his blessing, too. I'd never dreamed that God would give me all of these benefits. Well, I want you to know today that God is always teaching us, always enlarging our understanding of who he is, and there is nothing like a trial that will force us to that kind of new knowledge. First of all, then, he has a new conception of God. Secondly, he has a new ministry for God, a new ministry for God. Notice what the Lord says in verse 8. Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves and my servant Job will pray for you for I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So the three friends go, and they did as the Lord told them, last part of verse 9, and the Lord accepted Job. Where had those three friends gone wrong? And how startled they were to hear this from the voice of the Lord, because they thought that they were in the right. They had a wrong conception of God. For one thing, their conception of God was all based on law, and there was no grace. Their wrong conception of God made them think that because they were blessed, they had health, they had wealth, they were not experiencing the tragedies that Job was experiencing, therefore they concluded that they were righteous. Misunderstanding of God, and therefore a misunderstanding of themselves. They didn't know that the reason that they had health and strength was not because they were more righteous than Job. It is because God is incredibly generous and sometimes gives things to people over and abundantly what they should never even think is coming their way. God is generous. Many years ago, there was a book written on the book of Job entitled, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. It wasn't a very good book because at the end it said that basically God is doing the best he can, but he's finite, and this is all that he can do, so let's be thankful that he gives us as much good as he does because he's struggling. That's an exaggeration, but in effect, it was based on the view of a finite God. Well, I was thinking this past week, someday I'd like to write a book by this title. Not why do bad things happen to good people, but rather why do good things happen to bad people? I see more of that. There are all kinds of bad people out there who are having all kinds of good things happen to them. You see, what happened is Job's friends, they said to themselves, we must be good because we are blessed. The answer is no, you are blessed because God is gracious. Notice their wrong conception of God led to a wrong conception of themselves. They exalted themselves. But also it was a wrong view of Job. Because what they said was, if you figure this out, if everything is based on works, cause, effect, because Job is suffering, that means that he must be a wicked person. And we've examined his life and we can't see any wickedness, so there's something that he's hiding from us. And that's why you have chapter after chapter where in effect the friends are saying, Job, just get real, cough it up, tell us the truth, what is it? We know that this would have never happened to you were it not because of some specific sins of disobedience that you committed. Now, God was not willing to let this get by. God would not tolerate a justification of his righteousness on the basis of a false premise. Now, these men tried to justify God. They said that God is righteous, but God says you're doing it wrongly. I myself have said that Job is a good man who loves righteousness and turns away from evil. Now, of course, if you've been following this series, you know that there are times when Job said that which was wrong. He became self-righteous, but who of us would have done any differently in that situation? And God's point is, it was not because of some specific sin. It was not because Job was more wicked than other people. In fact, Job was tried this way because he was more righteous than others, and I wanted to refine him even further. Now, what's interesting is that Job and his friends, their stations in life are reversed. What a shock this must have been. Here are these self-righteous friends who keep saying, Job, you're this sinner, and now suddenly everything is reversed, and God says to them, you had better get Job praying for you, and you had better offer these sacrifices, because if you don't, my wrath is kindled against you. And in humility, they have to go to Job and say, Job, we were wrong. You pray for us because we're in trouble with God.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and if you've read the book of Job, you may be asking yourself the question, was he a righteous man or was he not? If he was righteous, why did God have to discipline him? Well, the answer to that question is simply this. Yes, of course he was righteous, and he was tried because he was righteous. But when pressed to the wall, when the trial came and the friends spoke to him, he began to feel a sense of self-justification, and it is that that God deals with. Stay tuned next time as we see how this story ends.
You've just heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up part one of The Purpose of It All, the last message in his series, God, Why Me? The Story of Job. On tomorrow's Running to Win, we'll explore the new prosperity Job received. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This 8-part series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about God, why me? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.